You said that's off the record.
I think that's my cue.
Would the meeting please come to order? This is the meeting of the executive committee. Present today is Councilmember Weiner, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Cartier, Councilwoman Miller, and Councilman Mullins, and Anthony McCord is taking the minutes. President Bullock is traveling. There may be one or two other council members that trickle in here before this meeting is over. The first article is approval of the minutes.
Motion to approve.
All in favor?
Aye.
The minutes have been approved. We'll move on to the discussion update on the PCRS litigation. Go to Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. We're going to postpone this until the next executive committee meeting will be in 2 weeks. By that time, we should have a little more information, and I would like to place on executive session this one. Does not say it when we need to go into executive session. But I think at one point we talked about people that have to do it.
We do. If we anticipate having to go into executive session, I do confirm that the county executive, as a matter of fact, was going to be on.
Right.
Would that be necessary?
So we need to list it for 2 weeks from now before.
Duly noted. Thank you. Thank you. Well, that will, Councilman Smiley.
Excuse me, I just want to say, and I think I voiced this before, I think all of the agendas should have a statement that council, you know, issues may arise that require council go into executive session in order to coerce. Yes, if we know in advance, we can say it on, but I think all the agendas should carry that in the bottom of the, with the memo. So we're covered in case something comes up, there's no issue. Just a suggestion. I think I said it before.
It does say that?
Yeah, sure.
It says, including additional items, including executive sessions.
I'm Carol Dilling, Council to Council. Although that's an excellent suggestion, and that is on there, the Attorney General has outlined that if there is something you know that's coming up, you have to give the reason, the exception under FOIA specifically for the executive session. So you would have to have Pike Creek legislation, you're going to discuss strategy, pending litigation, that would have to come from whoever is presenting.
So if we have a specific, but to the point that it's already on here, does it mean anything? Because it is on the agenda.
If something comes up that wasn't known about in advance, and it cannot wait, FOIA
sick of working, sick of work.
That would be a possibility.
Any further comment or questions from members of the council on that issue? Seeing none, we'll move on to item 4, which is other, and I know there's a couple issues under other. Councilwoman Dillard.
The motion you all were giving to it. First of all, I would like to take the previous motion off the table and remove it, and I will offer another motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. This is the new motion. I want to make a couple of remarks. Okay, this item is being added to the agenda as we just learned that the executive moved county funds into the varsity portfolio without discussion with or approval by county council. It cannot be delayed because taxpayer money is at stake, and it was rumored that the executive may unilaterally use county money to purchase farmland. Based on the unilateral action by the county executive to move monies outside the Barstow portfolio without council approval, to make a loan to a private entity without council approval, causing a promissory note to be placed on our reserves and to unilaterally move county money back into the Barstow portfolio, all without county approval as the fiscal oversight agency, and based on the failure of the Office of Law to respond to questions about the basis of the authority of the executive to make such moves without council approval and make a loan in light of constitutional provision, I move that we hire outside counsel to render an expert independent opinion on the legality of such actions and or suggest remedial state and county legislation if necessary and or to move for injunctive relief or declaratory judgment if necessary. I further move that council allocate $10,000 toward that purpose initially and that the contract first be offered to the Swayze Law Firm and then to the Katzen Stein Law Firm. If there is a conflict, as council has pre-existing relationships with those firms. Finally, I move that our fiscal director, Jim Boyle, work with our council to prepare the necessary purchase orders and contracts. This motion is conjunctive, and I ask that it be considered as a whole.
Second.
Thank you.
Any comment, question, members of council on the motion from Councilwoman Diller? Councilman Cargill.
So it seems like you nuanced this and provided steps. First, we're going to seek a legal opinion.
I can have this out.
We're going to seek a legal opinion on the legality of the movement of the funds. And or suggest remedial state or county legislation necessary, and or move for injunctive relief for declaring the judgment necessary. So this implies we're really going to have regular consideration of this issue, or semi-regular as we work with our time.
Well, I think that we need to get it started and see where it goes. I mean, if we can find a way that we don't have to go, you know, after the first round, that would be awesome. That would be great. But right now, I think we've been put in a position where we need some path forward. This is an attempt based on our discussion in the finance committee meeting that we have a way to move forward with this. And I think we've taken into consideration people's concerns. You know, it's a rather lengthy motion, but I think it gets to the heart of some of the issues that we've discussed.
Sir, yes, there's the end. I'll get to you. Any other comment or questions from members of council? Councilman Smiley.
I just have one, just looking at it. For the first paragraph, should that be used money to purchase farmland development rights?
Yes. That was just a preface.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay,
it is
I just
farmland
to make...
development rights. Yes.
Okay.
That's not part of the motion.
That's not part of the
That's
motion.
Not part of the motion.
The motion actually begins with the third paragraph.
Yeah.
I move.
Yeah, I move. I further move. Finally, I further move.
Any further comment from members of council as you go with the statement? Councilman Cartier.
I think at this juncture, if we're going to take our role seriously as a separate branch of government and do the financial oversight, however painful and, you know, I'm not too happy about all this, but the last straw for me is when they move money to refund the Carson portfolio. It's getting out of hand, and I just believe that I'm going to support this to support our oversight role as a separate branch of government, the legislative branch. So we have precedent for hiring outside attorneys. I'm very comfortable with these people and being sought for legal consultations. I think Councilman Holland's comments of the finance committee to give us the narrative and the history of this as a person on this council who's deeply involved in this issue and support it. And then to watch this sort of spin out of control in the unilateral authority of the executive branch. You know, we got to do our part to maintain the integrity of our citizens, taxpayers, fiscal integrity of government.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, I can support this motion as it stands here. You know, what's done is done, but my concern is, regardless of what everybody else may feel, I plan on being here for another term. And I would like this issue, for the sake of the people in Newcastle County and both sides of government, to be resolved once and for all. Because quite honestly, when we sit in here and we have this discussion, and I feel like I'm watching a ping pong match. Going back and forth. So if nothing else, I would hope that this brings clarity so we can put it behind us, both sides of government, and move forward working together for the people in Newcastle County as we should.
Thank you.
that's...
Thank you, Councilwoman Miller. Trust me, I didn't come in here thinking I was going to make this motion. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
And this may be a little bit off of the motion, but at one point I thought we were told that we couldn't encumber reserves, and now we've placed a promissory note on, which is a loan, on our reserves. I mean, when Councilman Smiley asked about encumbering money for a potential reassessment, you know, we were told at that point that we could not do that. That was like taking money out of the reserves, and that affected our bond rating.
Yes. Yes, Councilman Smiley?
I would just like to say that that was different than was me.
I would agree.
I would agree too, yes.
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. I appreciate Councilwoman Diller following the legal advice of her council attorney in reworking this ordinance to focus on defining what legal prerogatives extend to the legislative branch before directing an attorney to file suit. This motion is one that I can support, and I appreciate, again, the council, good council of our county council.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Street.
The will of council be the will of council. Just put 10 G's on the table, and end of the day, you got two lawyers here. And let me tell you how this is going to go forward. You hire somebody, a law firm, firms, lawyers, whoever, whatever, and they'll say that the executive branch can't do it. The executive branch, probably the county attorney is going to stand up and say, well, yes, we can do it. And then we'll either decide to go or not go running to a judge to ask him, her, or them what they think. And the likelihood is that him, her, or they will say, y'all figure this out. Because at the point where we file, they'll turn around and their response will be asking for immediate dismissal, summary judgment, they can do it. And we're asking, we're going to spend $10,000, number one, that I don't think we should spend it. The majority already has an opinion that it shouldn't be done, it can't be done. And you can ask council to craft that opinion for you without spending $10,000. They're going to argue what they're going to argue. And to me, it's just, if you want to legislate it and you want to say, here's what you can do and here's what you can't do, ask her to craft the legislation to say that. Ask for it to be put in on an emergency basis to say you can't do it, so that it's voted on and acted on before whatever folks fear is going to happens. But, you know, the will of council be the will of council. I just think it's $10,000 wasted, and I'm not a fortune teller, but I am predicting the path forward.
Thank you, Councilman Street. I would agree that we probably should not have to spend any money whatsoever, but I also feel that we're $6 million late. $3 million was moved unilaterally. Another three has been moved unilaterally. And we only found out, as we did today, in the blind side. There's no balance here. I feel that we have a role here, especially with financial oversight. We approved the budget. It's this government that approved the budget. I believe this motion that's being presented only gives us some options when we get outside legal independent opinion. And I do know that myself, as well as counsel to the council, has asked these legal questions during the time when the presentation was made regarding the first $3 million. Those questions were gone unanswered to the county council's attorney, as well as to the questions I posed myself. So we have gotten no response to the questions that were raised regarding the resolution that first transferred the money from Barstow to Newcastle County government. It seems as though, in my opinion, my experience has been none of those questions related to the legality of the county council's county executive's actions were in fact answered. And it's not unusual that the executive branch and the legislative branch may have a difference of opinion. And in those cases, I think it's necessary to have an independent opinion rendered to us. And it's happened before. It happened when the executive branch, in my opinion, was on the other side of Barley Mill, that the county council was in a different position. And it's happened more recently. So I think the fact that the county executive may have one opinion and the county attorney may have one opinion, I think with the courts that said that the county executive's position was quite frankly a conflict. We went through that whole process. We spent more money than I thought was necessary. When I got home from church that Sunday afternoon to realize that this council was without representation as it relates to Barley Mill, and to find out that somehow the administration was representing both sides of the argument, which in fact is a conflict of interest. So it becomes necessary from time to time, even though it's not a position that I feel good about, but it becomes necessary to the point you made earlier, Councilman Street. When it becomes necessary, and sometimes it does, I just feel that this is one of those times that it's necessary to get some outside opinion on this. And I'll have the county attorney opine as well. Councilman Street.
The will of council be the will of council, okay? But when you throw the dice and you want to go running over in the courthouse, and you just said it, we had one position and the administration had another position in Barley Mill, and he prevailed. So when you throw the dice in the instant matter, understand and fully understand that there's a possibility that you don't prevail and some of the authority that we think we have now may be taken.
And I think that it's not a matter of prevailing. I think it's a matter of clarity that I'm looking for. I'm not trying to win anything. I just feel that what is going on, we need some guidance that's independent. I'm not even suggesting that we, in fact, go to court. I think what the motion says is that we get some opinion, and then we base our path forward on that opinion. But I'm not at all suggesting that somehow we're going to go hear what we want to hear from an attorney or from the courts. I think the same thing happened when the $90 million that was moved, or 90, whatever it was. We had counsel that came into this chamber and said that the authority to invest, that the administration had done nothing wrong. What the administration had done wrong is the fact that they, in fact, did not put out an RFP, which is very significant. They did put it out, and they did get it to the vendor of their choice, but at least that was straightened out. And in that case, there was two different law firms involved. One law firm that was hired by the county auditor, and the other law firm hired by the executive branch of government. But we had to resolve that issue because that issue, again, was creating a lot of public concern, as I think this issue is today. And furthermore, that issue with the purchase of the farmland, I think, is going to create even more so of an issue. So I think that we're taking a positive, proactive step to get some clarity around this. If this is going to continue to happen, where we have millions of dollars being transferred or moved unilaterally, and council has no say whatsoever, I think we'll fail in the taxpayers. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. And I'm going to agree with you that it is just a matter of clarification. And that's when we have gone to court, that's basically what we have gone for every time. We did it on High Creek. We said we want to go to court because we want a clarification. We didn't want to win or lose. We only wanted a clarification on the path forward, what was valid and what wasn't valid. And going to what the deputy CAO said before about sitting down with the administration, Tim and I sat down with the administration. We had a path forward. We had it set out who was going to do what, who was going to receive what, and no votes promised, but that was going to be the process as to how it was going to go through. By the morning after that discussion, which didn't end until after 5 that night, next morning, I got a call from the administration saying, we are not going to come to any meeting over in the council chamber, and you need to not have that meeting. So what good does it do to sit down and work with them if in the end it doesn't work out? They don't come over, they still don't have the discussion. it seems easy to have discussion with one or two of us and set a path forward, but then when you have to come and face the whole council, that doesn't happen, so we then are left in limbo. And until we are a strong council and we make a decision that we need clarification on the questions that we have, we're going to continue exactly the way we are. We've done this for 3 years. We could be doing it for another 5.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any further discussion, comment, members of council? I'm going to go to the county attorney and then council to council. Also, I would like to have comments.
The comment I was going to make that, I will.
You want that? All right, thank you. Council to council?
Nothing to add.
No? Deputy CAO, did you have a comment?
I did, and Samuel Guy, Deputy CAO. I guess one of the concerns is that, like, each day, people prepare for the committee meetings. And so we had a representative that gave a presentation on the Garston funds. And that meeting is over. And now we're on a whole new agenda that has nothing to do with the Garston funds. It's not on the agenda at all. And something called other is being used to vote on doing something that appears to be directed at the administration that we're interested in discussing, but there's no notice of this coming up on this meeting. And I was under, I don't know what the rules are for council with respect to adding things, especially of this nature, to the agenda, but I'd at least like you all to consider whether the notice for this meeting to address a motion such as this, you know, has been met, the time frame requirements, et cetera. And so sometimes there is a rush to do things, and I can understand that, but we've offered to discuss it, and that hasn't been accepted nor denied, but now we have something that's been put on an agenda, but that's not noticed, and 6 hours before the meeting, it wasn't amended or anything of that nature. So I just ask you all to consider whether or not that should actually happen now, or whether that's okay based on your interpretation of the laws for the agendas, not the meeting notice, but for the agendas. So I'd ask you to consider that. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll go to Councilman Smiley. I think he may want to address it, but I will.
Yeah, I just want to, and I hope I'm not stepping on anybody's toes, I just want to clarify for the record that this council, in the previous committee meeting, adopted a motion to table Councilwoman Diller's motion and revisit it in this committee meeting. So any person that was present at that meeting with the Garston Trust being discussed was aware and had due notice that this topic would be coming up again in this committee meeting. So I think we fulfilled our obligation.
Thank you, Council to Council.
Carol Dillon, Council to Council, and certainly Mr. Guy raised some good points under the Freedom of Information Act. And that act does require that you post an item to the agenda up to and including 6 hours in advance, and with a reason that it's added late, less than 7 days, and a reason that it cannot wait. The exception is for items that arise at the time of the meeting, according to attorney general opinions. I believe that without opining on whether it's a good reason or not, a reason for that was offered by council member Diller, who made the motion, and the reason that it could not await a further meeting was made by council member Diller on the motion.
Thank you. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
This all came out of a posted notice. We had a posting within the Finance Committee to talk about the Garston funds, the Garston portfolio, because of the reserve money that was just used to go back into the Garston Trust. So this isn't an issue that just floated out of the air. This has a very logical sequence, and by postponing it from one meeting to another, gave her the time frame to put together a realistic motion.
Council, that is correct, and it was posted. I was just answering the question. He was saying what happens if it comes up after the items were posted, and there is a provision for that under the state law.
Thank you. Any further comment, members of council? Any comment from the public? Seeing none, I yield for the roll call. On Councilwoman Dillard's motion.
Bell? Cartier?
Yes.
Dillard?
Yes.
Collins?
Yes.
Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Towers? Greta? Sheldon?
Yes.
Smiley?
Oh man, I was hoping to be the last one so I could flip. Yeah. Yes.
Street?
No.
Tackett? Weiner?
Yes.
And Bullock? Seven yes, one no, four absent.
The motion is adopted. That business is taken care of. Move on to public comment.
Excuse me, I have another.
That's right, I'm sorry. There's another item under other that Councilman Wine has brought my attention previously. I'm sorry, Councilman Wine, you may proceed.
Thank you. I'd like to put some information for Council's consideration on the record. I had presented this information at the Boards and Commissions meeting, but not everyone was present, and so I'd like to present it again. And I apologize to those who have heard this already, but I consider this to be utmost importance. I'd like to hand out a resume to those who are not at the first meeting. Councilman Sheldon, I don't know if you were.
I was not there.
Any others? There weren't. Oh.
Thank you.
At the Boards and Commissions meetings, there were two candidates which were considered, and they will be considered by County Council at our Executive Committee meeting 2 weeks hence. Councilman Smiley graciously agreed to table the candidate that he's nominated, Mr. Blaskowitz, and Mr. Brown will be therefore interviewed at the same Council Executive Committee meeting 2 weeks henceforth concerning filling a vacancy on the pension board. The vacancy occurred when one of the three spots, which are prerogatives of County Council, non-county employees or experts, subject matter experts, one of those three, Kenneth Porter, who I previously nominated, could no longer serve because he had been offered a job by the administration to head up the assessment unit in the finance department, and he accepted that position, and he's been in that position for 4 weeks. So there is now a vacancy, and vacancy is very important. The viability of our pension is extremely important. We have challenges. At one point, there was close to 100% funding. The funding dropped using the new criteria to about 50%. That was both in bull market and the bear market. The pension has recovered. I don't want to say it was strictly because of any one particular reason, but I think fellow pension board members would credit Kenneth Porter with his background having served on the as chief actuary for DuPont Company. He came with excellent credentials. The last time we were close to 100% funded, we had another pension DuPont manager by the name of Tom Croft, and he left. He was replaced by Mr. Blaskowitz, who has served 10 years, he did resign. He's now being sponsored to return again, and I would like to suggest that we should have give someone else an opportunity to serve on the pension board. Mr. Brown, whose resume those of you either had or have received at this time, Mr. Brown, Darrell B. Brown, worked underneath Ken Porter running the DuPont pension. He now works for a spinoff that manages pensions called DCM Private Market Groups. He has earned his BS in mathematics at the University of Texas, his MBA at the University of Delaware, and he's highly regarded in his field, articulate, and widely published. Those last words were not his. They were the comments of Kenneth Porter. I don't know this gentleman. I got his resume about a half hour before this meeting. The one that, the inartful one that I gave out to you is one that I culled from the internet. And I am anxious to urge council to, after considering both at next meeting when it comes to the council, I hope that council will consider voting for Darrell B. Brown. He not only provides specific subject matter expertise in terms of pension management, that's what he does for a living, but he also, if you look at his resume, has actuarial experience and works with pension and retiree health care liabilities for various DuPont pension plans. He is a person of color. I would like to point out that we're working for diversity. Mr. Brown would bring diversity to our pension board, and I think that's one of our goals as well. And that's all I'm missing.
Councilman Weiner, you mentioned this is probably for executive committee, and I just thought that the boards and commission committee would go through these applications.
Yes.
And not have that discussed in the executive committee. So the meeting that occurred today should occur again, only that you'll have two candidates instead of one.
That would be very excellent if that were to happen.
And also, I
think that's the reason, I'm sorry, I think that's the reason for the boards and commission is not to bring more than one candidate to the executive committee where you potentially have enough council members to make a decision.
Mm-hmm. I defer to council.
That's the process that, as it exists now, is that when we have more than one candidate, the boards and commissions will sort of go through that and make the recommendation to the full body of council. So we can't accept any application without the full body of council voting. It's not approved at that level, but the recommendation comes from that level.
President Bullock and I co-chair this. He is out of town. I think if it's possible, I would like to talk with him once he gets back in town about how we have to do this. I mean, we have tried. You know, we often haven't run it, you know, just the reality of people stepping up and volunteering. We don't often have multiple people for a single situation. So let me talk with President Bullock, and we will get back to council as to where we want to go with the next meeting. You know, we may end up doing the same thing that we did this time, is having, you know, is doing a review, but let me talk with them as to how we're going to get back.
My point is, if we're going to have a committee meeting set up of boards and commissions to discuss the appointments, we're going to repeat the same thing at the executive committee. They needed to get rid of one of these committee meetings. So there's no point in having the same discussion in one meeting and repeating the same thing in another meeting. So whether it's going to be an executive, and I thought the boards and commission was set up to handle this, and if they're not, then of course we can do an executive.
My only concern was that, you know, I thought Mr. Blaskowitz was the only candidate. Turns out he's not. And for interventions and works. We'd like to talk to the president of the terms.
Okay, that's fine. Councilman Smiley,
Councilman Street. Yeah, I just want to clear the air a little bit. I made it very clear both Anthony and Ms. Gardner, clerk of council, that in no way did I want to circumvent the process that council had. Made that very clear from day one. With that in mind, I will be tabling, as I said, I will be tabling the resolution this evening, and I am content to leave that resolution on the table until due process is awarded to any and all nominees. There may be more come forward. And I look forward to it. But quite honestly, I'm glad to see that we can have more nominations, but I hope in the future when someone becomes aware of a vacancy, I mean, I only found this out by happenstance, someone approached me over there. I'm sure others were aware of it, and council should have been made aware of it earlier. So with that in mind, I will leave it on the table, so I don't want to rush the Boards and Commissions Committee, so that's my commitment.
Thank you, President.
Yes, I just asked that in deference to anyone who has a candidate, myself included, to present the Boards and Commissions, that we are available to attend the Boards and Commissions meeting. I don't know if it's going to be scheduled. But I had a vacation schedule.
Well, there are chairs, and I think today there was only one of you who wants in.
Yeah.
So it's up to those chairs, like any other committee. Speak to the chairs, you got nine of the agenda, those on the agenda, and there's a meeting.
If I may just add, in checking if my aide and I believe the consultant of council to council, the notice of the meeting encourages folks to come with a resume to the meeting. There's no requirement that a resume to someone be shared with the Boards and Commissions.
Well, that's fine. My only concern here is that there's a duplication of meetings for the same purpose. And I just don't think that we want to waste our time doing it. Either we're going to have the Boards and Commissions meeting.
How much money are we paying these folks?
The pensions, they should be paying us the last amount of money.
Now you start to act like me.
Somebody make sure the pro tem shoes are tied.
My point being, I really don't think that the
practice without the
I'm glad we allow public comment here. I was attention to it. Yeah. Councilman Street?
No, I was just trying to show you that.
All right, thank you. Any other members of the public have comment?
Both of you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.